Let us pray. O God, the Father of light, you give light to us by your word. Pour down on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, we may receive with faith the words of eternal life and be made wise for our salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Battling with temptation, or if you want, struggling with temptation. Oh, temptation, that dreadful feeling or desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. Temptation. And it recently came home to me again on Christmas Day. During our Christmas dinner with friends from Bristol, Ariel, our last daughter, came to where the adults were eating and having some red wine. "Daddy, what is it? What is this?" Then I replied, "It is red wine. Can I have some, please?" "No," I replied. "Children are not allowed to have wine because it is alcoholic." Then she left, and after a few minutes, she came back again and said, "Please, Daddy, can I have some of your wine? Please, only a little." I said, "No." Then she made as if she was going and then came back and said, "But Daddy, I really want to have some of your wine." Well, Ariel is very inquisitive and she's very smart, but she did not beat me on that one. Temptation, are you struggling with it? And what is it about the forbidden that is often so attractive? As Mark Twain suggested, there is a charm about the forbidden that makes it unspeakably desirable. Think of the Garden of Eden, the encounter between the devil and our first parents. With clear instructions from God not to eat from the forbidden tree, man still allows him or herself to be jilted by the devil and so to disobey God. And what is again interesting about temptation is how often we try to justify our failure. The woman in the garden said, "The devil made me do it." The man said to God, "The woman you gave me made me do it." And behind all their actions was a lack of trust and confidence in the God who had placed them in the garden and assured them of all their needs, but had warned them against the very things they now longed for endlessly. Are you struggling with temptation? Thomas Kempis remarked that the beginning of temptation lies in a wavering mind and little trust in God. For as a rudderless ship is driven hither and yon by waves, so a careless and irresolute man or woman is tempted in many ways. And Kempis was right. It is unbelief and impatience that prevents us from resisting temptation. But from that lack of tenacity of faith on our path and the failure to trust Almighty God, we come to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master. Jesus Christ, man like us but without sin. A man who trusted the Father and believed that only God could satisfy his deepest needs and so would not fall into the trap of the devil. You see, friends, man born in sin had been a pushover all those years. But Jesus was God, and the devil knew him to be God. And although Jesus was to be tempted as a man, Satan had never met a man like this man, a man anointed of God, filled with the Spirit, and absolutely without sin or any desire to sin. So the devil came with his temptation. And the first temptation concerned the satisfaction of Jesus' appetite. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. It was a temptation for him to use his power to gratify an obvious personal physical need. I have no doubt that Jesus could turn stones into bread. His first miracle was changing water into wine. He later multiplied the loaves and fishes. But the suggestion of the devil was to indulge his appetite in an exotic way. Dear friends, appetites are God-created urges, and there is nothing wrong or sinful in appetite. All of us like to have some good food. But sin usually lies in how we seek to satisfy our appetites. The devil always suggests that man can answer the needs of his life in the material things. That we can live our whole lives on the physical plane. That we don't need the spiritual dimension. And so no wonder Charles Dickens suggested that if we subdue our appetites, then we have conquered human nature. And so Jesus replied to the devil, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out from God." How many of us are trying to live by bread alone? The second temptation concerned ambition for power. This time, the devil took Jesus to a high mountain and gave him a panoramic vision of all the kingdoms of the world. He said, "All this power I will give you. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I choose to. If you worship me, it will be all yours." Can you hear the echo of the devil's voice? Look at you. You are not only famished or hungry, but you have also failed. Here you are, 30 years of age, and you are still known as the carpenter's son. Now, here is my offer. Do as I say, and you shall have instant sovereignty. Your great talents deserve a world arena. Worship me, and I will set you on the throne of the world. You can have the crown without the cross. The world needs a king like you. Tiberius and his like will never amount to much. But you, think how you could improve the world if all of its potential and people were yours to command. That's the voice of the devil to Jesus. This offer to Jesus was subtly powerful. He was born to die and to redeem the world. Satan is suggesting that you can have the crown without the cross. Immediate fulfillment is possible. Just turn from God's path of the cross and worship me, and everything will be yours. How often Satan seeks to deter us from God's path. God's path calls for self-denial, for self-sacrifice. Satan cries, "No, no, it's in self-indulgence, self-assertiveness that the world is realized." But Jesus replied, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord, and him only shall you serve." The power and glory of the world is a strong desire for many people today. And many are bowing down to Satan in order to attain it. We lie, we cheat, we deceive, we defraud, and we even sell our bodies, and many more dabble in the occult in order to gain power. But notice the trap. If you want power, bow down to me. And the irony is that the moment I bow, I become a slave. I am not ruling, I am serving. Many people throughout the world are enslaved by their lust for power and glory, and seeking powers from the devil to rule others have instead enslaved them to the devil and his cohorts. Now we move to the final temptation. It concerned the faithfulness of God. Satan transported Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Here again we hear the devil's voice saying, look at you. You have forgotten. True, there was a flurry of interest in you at the time of your birth, but that was a long time ago. Most of those people are dead, and you have been forgotten by all. You are nobody. Is your name known in the Sanhedrin? Is there anyone in Athens or Rome to speak for you? Who trumpets your name? John the Baptist? He will be dead before long, as you very well know. Then you will be forgotten indeed. As for the Jewish establishment, they will kill you if they get half a chance. I will see to that. However, do as I say, and you can have instant success. Do as I say, and an hour from now, you will be the talk of Jerusalem. Well, in this last temptation, it's about the faithfulness of God. Satan quotes scripture, but cleverly misquotes it, deleting an important phrase. It's a temptation to sensationalism, to attract crowds. It was temptation to prove God. Dear friend, are you struggling with temptation? Somebody is asking you, what have you gained from going to church all your life? Does God really care about you? Maybe in some kind of unfortunate situation in which you find yourself, your friends are asking you, where is that your God? Where is he? And I would say to them, my God is on the throne and he reigns and he knows all about me. Any attempt, dear friends, to prove God is a sign of unbelief. And those who fully believe in God have no need to prove him. He constantly proves himself in his word and in our lives. And so Jesus replied the devil, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. The connection between the temptation of Jesus and our own temptations was recognized by the author of the letter to the Hebrews. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every aspect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ was tested or tempted concerning his baptismal vocation as the Son of God. He was obedient to the course upon which he had set at his baptism. Likewise, those who are his followers are tested concerning their baptismal vocation. Through baptism, we are called to be obedient and to serve the Lord alone. Friend, I ask you again, are you struggling with temptation? Maybe a large appetite for something that might end your life. And despite medical reports showing that you shouldn't consume them, your desire for those are even growing larger. Maybe an addiction that has held you in its clutches for far too long, or a lustful admiration that has got hold of you. Friend, are you struggling with some form of temptation? A large appetite for things that do not benefit our spiritual lives, but only leave us spiritually malnourished and even lead to poor health. Maybe its insatiable quest for power and glory at the expense of others. Or are you tempted to doubt God and you want to try to prove him? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our Lord Jesus surmounted all those temptations by applying the word of God, and he became triumphant over Satan. And he had renewed energy and renewed strength to go on doing the work of God. Therefore, let us find comfort and strength in knowing that the word of God can help us overcome our own temptations and trials. That every conquering temptation represents a new fund of moral energy. That every trial endured and weathered in the right spirit makes a soul nobler and stronger than it was before. And we can always say, Satan, get behind me. I don't know you. And remember, the greatest temptations are not those that solicit our consent to obvious sin, but those that offer us great evils, masking as the greatest goods. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Let us pray. Lord, our God, if you could resist the temptation to be anything other than suffering servant, how can we not resist the promises of this world? Look to you and follow in your footsteps. Lord, our God, be in the decisions we must make today and this week. Open our ears to your guidance and steer our footsteps from temptation. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen.